I want to read firstly in the book of Jeremiah and chapter 13. That's page 925. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. Can an Ethiopian change his skin, or a leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good who are accustomed to do evil. And then in the prophet Daniel, in chapter 4, that's page 1070. Daniel 4, and we'll read from verse 29. At the end of 12 months, he was walking upon the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from the heavens, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken." And then we'll read verse 33, "In the same hour was the word fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and ate grass as oxen, and his body was bathed with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto the heavens, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honoured him that liveth for ever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." Verse 37, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of the heavens, all whose works are truth, and his path judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." And then the book of the Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, "But Saul, still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, came to the high priest and asked of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, so that if he found any who were of the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. But as he was journeying, it came to pass that he drew near to Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light out of heaven, and falling on the earth, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus.'" And then finally, if you'll bear with me, in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 5, in fact, we referred to this in the reading this afternoon, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, "Do ye not know that unrighteous persons shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not err, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who make women of themselves, nor who abuse themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor abusive persons, nor the rapacious shall inherit the kingdom of God. And these things were some of you, but ye have been washed, but ye have been sanctified, but ye have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Or a leopard change his spots? A black man, that's an Ethiopian, can't change into a white man. And a leopard can't change into a tiger. What is the writer saying here? Some things are impossible, or seemingly so. He says, if that were so, then you could do good instead of evil. The point he's making here, dear friend, is that We're all sinners, and we can't change that, naturally speaking. We're born in that condition of being sinful. And there's nothing you or I can do about it. Jeremiah, in another place, says that the heart is desperately wicked. Not just a tiny bit wicked, but desperately wicked. And we see evidence of that all around us today. If you open the news, you see that. But dear friend, you can see it closer than that. You look in the mirror. What do you see? Without God's grace, wickedness. You think of the most terrible person you ever thought of, and you say, I would never do that. Dear friend, the heart is desperately wicked, and you cannot change that. We're a long way from the new year, but you know, New Year's resolutions, they come and go, don't they? Sometimes they last a day or so. If you're very good, they might last a month. But you cannot change your heart by yourself. Because what we have by sinful nature, it's inherent in us. Since the fall of man back in that garden, every man, woman and child is born under that curse of sin. And the sooner you realise it, the better. So I've said that we're dealing with something that's seemingly impossible. Dear friend, I'm glad to tell you the glad tidings that what is impossible with men is possible with God. Because God is in the business of doing the impossible, and he's able to change your life. And I've read of two people who were changed, one in the Old Testament and one in the New. It's interesting that both of them were marked by pride. The first one was marked by earthly, worldly pride. And the second one was marked by religious pride. I know that in the Old Testament it's a type rather than actuality, because this was before Jesus came onto the scene. But Nebuchadnezzar had a radical change, and he was humbled. It's interesting, the words, isn't it? What he says. He surveyed his kingdom, this Babylon. He says, the Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power. And you know, that's man in his pride, isn't it? Satan himself at the beginning, he said, I will be as God. And that pride has followed through the whole human race. Here was a man who was prided in all that he had done. And yet, you know, he was humbled. He was brought down. And tonight the gospel goes out that you may be humbled, that you might have to deal with God. The man in Luke 15 that Jesus told the parable about, it says at one point at the end of his tether that he came to himself. And tonight, dear friends, if you've never come to yourself, then you need to do it tonight. To be honest with God. To say that God is true and right. And I deserve eternal punishment. I am a sinner. And I can't do anything about it. I cannot change myself. Because it's at that very point that there is hope and there is mercy for you and me. You know, this man, Nebuchadnezzar, he heard the voice from the heavens. And you know, in the gospel, that's what's happening tonight. that God is speaking to you, the Lord Jesus is speaking to you from on high. The Saviour I present to you tonight is a risen and a living Saviour, and he's speaking to you. What does the hymn say? He's speaking from heaven in love to your soul. He's speaking to you right now, and he wants to have to do with you. But that requires you to go down. There's no room for pride at the cross. This man, Nebuchadnezzar, how he was abased. He went through repentance. What did Peter preach? Repentance towards God. I've said that we're all sinners, and therefore we need to repent. That's part of the gospel. You cannot get blessing without repenting. But you know, God is a merciful God, and his ear is open to hear the sinner's cry. If you repent, you know, in Luke 15, as soon as the young man turned round, that's repentance, he turned round. As soon as he did that, I'm sure the Father was on his way. And tonight, dear friend, as soon as you repent to God, recognize the state that you're in before him, he will hear your cry. What a God, what a Saviour. We deal with a merciful God, God of grace and mercy. It will not always be so. This gospel that we preach, it won't go out forever. Jesus is coming again, and I believe it is very soon. Yes, we've heard of that all before, haven't we? But I still believe it is very soon. But you have an opportunity tonight, today, to respond to the gospel message. So what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? He had to deal with God. He was humbled, and he ends up as a worshipper, effectively. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of the heavens. You know, if you understand what God has done for you in Christ, you'll end up as a worshipper. Man was created for that purpose. Some people say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know why I'm here. Why was I born? Why am I here? Where am I going? What's the point of it all? The point of it all, dear friend, is that God created you to be a worshipper. So this is an Old Testament conversion. I'll move on to Paul. This is probably more well known. Here he was a religious man, wasn't he? Full of pride. He thought he was doing what was right. And many people think they're doing what is right and when they're wrong. There was a track, wasn't there, in the old days, in great earnest on the wrong road. And many people tonight are in great earnest, but they're on the wrong road. There is a path that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. The gospel is to point you to on the right road. And that road can only be access through the cross. That's the way. The way of the cross leads home, the old song says. So Apostle Paul, another man who had a complete change. Could Paul do it? Could his religious background do it? Could his knowledge of the scriptures do it? Many people think they're very good at the scriptures, very conversant. The Lord Jesus said, you search the scriptures, but you won't come to me. Tonight, the point of the gospel preaching is that you come to Christ. You will not come to me, he says. What feeling there is in that? There was all these religious people. They knew the law. They could repeat it backwards and forwards and upside down, but they wouldn't come to him. The Apostle Paul he was on this journey, he didn't realize what was going to happen, did he? What a change. He was one breathing out, as we read here, threatenings and slaughter. He describes himself in another place as an insolent, overbearing man. I don't think I would have liked to have met the old Saul. And yet, as we read in the reading this afternoon, what a different person. What a different person. He was gracious, loving. He put everyone else before himself. He thought of others before himself. What's the change? How can such a change happen, dear friend? There's only one answer. It's Jesus. Jesus. Again, Paul has a voice from the heavens. Like Nebuchadnezzar, he has a voice from the heavens. Saul, Saul. You know, sometimes the Lord has to speak loudly to us, doesn't he? When someone's name is repeated twice, it means it's very important. And what I say to you in the gospel is very important. He may be calling your name tonight. Whatever your name is, he might be saying, stop in your tracks. You need to have to do with Jesus. I am Jesus. That is the only person. He is the only person who can make this change. I was looking at the hymn. There's a gospel song. We all know it's not in here. I would have given it out if I could have done. What a wonderful change was wrought in my heart since Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful change. You think of the change that Paul had. And yet, you know, millions of people throughout the world and throughout history have had a similar encounter with the Lord Jesus. Jesus spoke to him from heaven. How did he get there? Jesus came from heaven. He came from God himself. But he came down to this earth, didn't he? That journey, you can read it in Philippians 2. 7 steps downwards to the cross. And it says in that scripture, I think it's in the AV, it says emptied in this version, but in the AV it says he humbled himself. Think of who he was, God himself, manifest in the flesh. He humbled himself. Nebuchadnezzar, Saul, they were humbled, weren't they? As they dealt with God, as they dealt with the living Lord, as they realized their sinfulness, they were humbled. But my Saviour, dear friend, he humbled himself. He who was rich, he's the Creator, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And yet he came to this world of sin and sorrow where the devil was rampant, where there was millions of people just like you and I in their sin. How Jesus must have felt it. And yet he went on. At every point in his Jesus pathway, they tried to stop him, didn't they? The devil tried to stop him. Even one of his disciples tried to stop him going to the cross. But the Lord Jesus, you know, was not put off. He says he set his face steadfastly to go to the cross, to go to Jerusalem. Why? Because that was the only way that the question of sin could be resolved. Religion would try and come up with all sorts of different ways that you might change, as I've said here. But there's only one way that you can be changed, dear friend, and that is having to do with the one who died for you at Calvary's cross. Paul puts it beautifully, doesn't he? He says that him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, him who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. What a change. Millions have been changed, dear friend. Question is tonight, have you been changed? Have you been changed? Not by a gospel preaching, not by a church, not by even reading the Bible, but by Jesus and what he did. He went to the cross, he suffered and died, he shed his precious blood to wash away our sins. He was buried. Just think of that for a minute, the Creator lying in the earth. But God saw to it that he didn't stay there. Thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. God raised him from the dead. Why did God raise him? Various reasons. One is because he was satisfied with the work of Jesus. And if God is satisfied with what Jesus has done in respect of your sins and mine, then we can be satisfied with him too. So dear friends, have you had this change? Can you sing today, what a wonderful change has come since Jesus came into my heart? Into my heart, not my head, into my heart. I just read the last few verses because this shows people who were changed. This list doesn't make very attractive reading, does it? In our sins, we don't make very attractive reading either. But Paul says, you were that, but now you're not. What's the change? I am Jesus. Paul had to deal with Jesus himself. Tonight, dear friend, the only thing that matters is you have to do with him. He is presented tonight in the gospel as a saviour, full of grace, one who died the just for the unjust. He was the just one. The world falsely accused him. He was the just one. We are the unjust ones. But it says he died the just for the unjust. What? To bring us to God. If you want to get God's blessing tonight, if you want to be saved from your sins, then there's only one way. Come to Jesus. Ye will not come to me. How sad that is, that many hear the gospel and they go away without coming to him. But I can guarantee you, dear friend, tonight, that if you come to him, he will change you. And there's much a testament to this. You can read many stories of lives that have been changed. And you might say, well, I've been brought up as a Christian in a Christian household. I've gone to church, I've gone to the meetings. There doesn't seem to be much visible change from what I was always. But we're talking about the heart. God can see the heart. I can't see. We look on the outside, don't we? Samuel had to learn that hard lesson. God looks on the inside. And the work of Christ and what he did is necessary, whoever you are. Whether you're and nominally a believer or not, the work of Christ is absolutely necessary and you have to come to him. What does it say? And these things were some of you. Paul knew them, I'm sure. And he says, but ye have been washed. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Why was Jesus' blood shed? God required it. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I take comfort in that, you know, because I know, even as a believer, I do sin. But I thank God that that precious blood is able to wash away my sins. What a wonderful thing that is. Sanctified. So we're not just on our own charges. We're set apart now. If you've come to Christ, if you've been changed, then you don't fit in with the world. You're set apart for Him. You're part of God's people. You're God's property. You belong to the Lord. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. That tells me, dear friend, it's all God's work. I said at the beginning that what is impossible with man is possible with God. This shows that these changes that took place, it's all God's work. He gets the glory. Nebuchadnezzar gave him the glory. Paul gave him the glory. Tonight, dear friend, are you going to give God the glory for all that is done for you in Christ? May you come to Him while it's still time. Amen. Amen.